Go and tell that fox for me, listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Jesus uses the image of the fox to talk about Herod. And Herod was the governor of Galilee. It is the place where Jesus is located along with his disciples. And so he was passing through as he made his way to Jerusalem, teaching and healing people from the illnesses and liberating people from demons who were oppressive forces. So Jesus uses this image of a fox to talk about the one who seemed to claim power over many people, including Jesus and his disciples. I don't know much about foxes' behavior. I have never even seen one. But the only time that I have ever come close to a fox was in Catalina Island. Right? How many of you have gone to Catalina? My first time going there, I took a short hike there, and as I made my way to the top of this height, I noticed a lot of signs of warning about foxes who might be lurking around and after my lunch. The signs literally say, watch out for foxes, put your food in the trash. Now, I never saw one, but I highly value my lunch. And after a good amount of hiking, so I did. I would turn around after each bite of my sandwich just to make sure there were no foxes around. But these signs were enough to put me out of defense, right? In our gospel, surprisingly, the Pharisees were the ones who serve as warning signs to Jesus. I say surprisingly because in other gospels, Pharisees are often people who oppose the ministry of Jesus, especially when Jesus decides to perform works of healings on a Sabbath. Jesus gets criticized by the Pharisees. They were not as bad as the Sadducees were, right? The Sadducees, they were just too sad, you see? That was a joke. All right, let's move on. Ironically, the Pharisees serve as people who warn Jesus of the threat of Herod to Jesus and his ministry. In the Gospel of Luke, they are portrayed as people who befriend Jesus. At least they had a common enemy, which was the Roman Empire. Their common allegiance for Jesus and the Pharisees was to God only. So it seems that their warnings were true warnings to Jesus. But despite these warnings, Jesus refuses to be intimidated by Herod and his power and to stop his ministry out of fear. So his response is one of defiance and challenge. Jesus will continue his ministry of healing and liberation, even if it will eventually involve suffering and cause his own life. And so Jesus feels the Holy Spirit is ready to overcome every force of evil, every enemy of the human race. And eventually he does this on the third day, the day of his resurrection. But what is also interesting in this gospel passage is Jesus lamenting over the city of Jerusalem. We got to remember that Jesus, like every Jew at that time, would go to Jerusalem every year to celebrate the Passover, right? From early on, Jesus, along with his family, became familiar with the temple and the religious order of his time. But sadly, the religious establishment of the time was far away from living out the kingdom of God, far away from engaging in the work of God's liberating work of healing among the suffering ones. So Jesus laments Jerusalem because he wants to protect his people, his city. He knows that his entrance to Jerusalem will also pose some threat to the power of the day, to the city, by the power of the day, the power of Rome. But nevertheless, Jesus moves forward. Jesus knew his destiny and the suffering that would undergo by opposing the center of power, which was Jerusalem, in which Jerusalem represented the center of power of the day. Now, what might this mean to us as we find ourselves in the season of Lent? Well, in Lent, we are invited to confront the power of sin in our lives, in the life of our community, who also seek to claim our lives. During this season, we are invited to wrestle with the many ways that we resist the love and the protection of God, because we do, as humans. As we focus closer to the suffering of Christ, we are also invited to look out our own suffering, our own need for healing. And that is not very pleasant, to look at our own wounds, our own brokenness and suffering. But because we have a God who is familiar with suffering and shame, God in Jesus offers us these words of comfort in our Lenten journey, illustrated in the image of a mother hen. Now, if you have ever come across a hen, you know that they are brave and fierce when it comes to protecting their chicks. You do not want to mess with them. But they are willing to die to save their chicks. And that is the love that we see in Jesus, one who reflects this immense love for us. In this season, God calls us today to return to being embraced again by the tender and motherly love of God, to continue to reject the ways we choose to protect ourselves, and to once again to put ourselves into the protecting arms of God and God's mercy. Tomorrow we commemorate the life of the bishop who served in Ireland, Bishop Patrick. And in learning about his story, he faced deep suffering in his life. He was kidnapped by Irish pirates and was sold into slavery in Ireland. He was actually Britain. He was born in Britain. He was not Irish. But he was sold into slavery into Ireland. But even after the many threats to his life, the many wounds he carried with him from his life of suffering, he is met by Jesus, and he is able to recognize the healing presence of God in Jesus, who comes along our human journeys with all its struggles and suffering. Patrick, who the church named a saint, was used by God to spread the gospel of Jesus throughout Ireland years later, proclaiming the tender love of God in Christ Jesus. May we meet this Jesus today also as we experience his love and his forgiveness for all of us. Amen.